Jesus is the King of Kings. When he reigns, it is with power and with justice. Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So it is God's passion to extend his kingdom. It is his zeal to extend his kingdom by any means necessary. He is the king, but do we acknowledge him as such? That's my question. We say King of Kings, but is he your king? We sing, "You're the king of my heart." Is that truly what is reflected upon our heart? Are our hearts reigned by him? Where he reigns, he administers his government and peace. Is his government governing your heart? Is his peace ruling your heart? Because if he is the king of your heart, guess what? That's what his government and peace is established. Agreed? He orders it and establishes it with judgment and justice. With judgment and justice. When Jesus is king over your heart, did you know he performs judgment and justice in your heart? Do you know that? He'll straighten your heart out. He'll say, "Matthias, this thing is wrong. This thing is not right right here. I'm going to straighten it out. I'm going to do my righteous judgment." Do you know your heart is one of the most important parts of your life? Because in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Everything that springs forth from your life comes from your heart. And that's why it commands us to keep your heart with all diligence. What is diligence? If I do something diligently, consistently, with care, right, with attention. If I'm diligent with my schoolwork, that means I finish it, I'm consistent with it, I do it well, right? And it says, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, sometimes we don't care about our homework and we don't do it with diligence, right? And sometimes we treat our heart that way too. We're like, it doesn't really matter. This assignment doesn't really matter. Oh, I don't really care if I get a bad grade on it. And sometimes that's what we do with our hearts. We're undiligent with it. We said, keep your heart with all diligence. That means there's something that can happen with your heart that will not be right if you don't take care of it. In other versions, it says, guard your heart. What do we have to guard our hearts from? Why can't I just be an open, free bird and my heart's open to everything? Whatever you want, just let it flow. It says, guard your heart because there's things that want to come into it. There's little foxes it talks about. In the Bible, little foxes that come to destroy the vine so the grapes are not there. There's little foxes that want to get in your heart and destroy the vine so you don't produce fruit. That little foxes that destroy, kill, steal, and destroy in your heart. And that's why it says, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Who do we let into our hearts? That's my question. Who do you let into your heart? What do you let into your heart? Or to whom or to what do we entrust our hearts and give access to reign and influence? And guess what? It's our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against dark forces, cosmic powers. Do you know there's a spiritual world trying to ram you in your heart to get influence, to get like the reign of, I want to control their heart. I want to do this in their heart. And we have a consistent battle. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. That means no days off. No days off. Oh, I'm going to let go today. I'm going to be off guard. No, guard your heart. We must keep it with all diligence, actively. Why? Because bitterness tries to creep in. Unforgiveness tries to creep in. Disappointment, depression tries to creep into your heart. And if you do not guard it, it will take root and produce a baby. It will manifest itself as death. whatever it is. Bitterness will murder stuff. Unforgiveness will harden stuff. Disappointment will steal and kill stuff. Life flows from the heart. The issues we have, the struggles we have with ourselves comes from this place. You're like, man, I'm struggling with this. Guess what? That's a heart issue. Your porn issue, that's only the outside. Your porn issue is a heart issue. Your rudeness issue, oh, I mean, I'm always angry at this person. I'm always annoyed. That's a heart issue. That doesn't show how the other person is. It shows how you are. Man, and I'm not trying to like bring the hammer down and like wreck all you guys, but I kinda am. Like, I'm not trying to be condemning, but I'm saying there's things that we must be careful about. There's things that prevent us from reaching our potential in Christ. Because we are not diligent about that. We let it in. We're like, man, I feel like this. I'm going to let it. I'm going to dwell upon it. And there's no battle. And where there is no battle, there is defeat. If you're not going to give... If you're not going to resist the devil will overtake you. It says, do not give place to the devil. This is written to believers. This is written to you and me. And it says, do not give place to the devil. That means if we don't resist the devil, you give a place to him. When bitterness comes and attacks you, if you don't resist bitterness but allow it to take root, guess what? That will do so much damage, not to yourself, but to others as well. Unforgiveness, man, this person hit me, this person hurt me, this person talked about me. Guess what? Get used to it. People are going to talk about you all the time. Pastor even said, all the time. I've had people yell at my face for things maybe I don't deserve. And guess what? Guess what? You're called to love your enemy. That's all. Love them. God, how should I react to them? Love them. Is that a battle? Absolutely. Because everything in my being. I used to have major like anger issues. Like major anger issues. People ticked me off. I went off. Like I went off. There's a reason there's a hole in my bedroom. Guess what hangs over it now? Love is patient. Love is kind. Not even joking. See, once you start being angry at anger, guess what? Stuff starts to happen. Man, like he wants to pull that out of your heart. He wants to break that off your heart. He wants to lift that off your heart. He's so jealous for your heart. Do you know that? He's so jealous for your heart. He doesn't want anyone else to have your heart but him. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you so much. He cares for you because he knows if anything else is given to your heart, guess what? It's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to steal, kill, and destroy. Like anything else that is not in his hands usually dies. See, even peace is not an outside-inside type of thing. Did you know that? What I mean by that is like we aren't meant to live by our outside circumstances determining our peace in our life. Did you know that? So your outside circumstance is not meant to determine your peace inside. It says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. That doesn't mean like peace takes a day off. Peace doesn't take a day off. That's the place we're supposed to live out of is peace. Peace. And see, it's not an outside-inside type of thing. It's an inside-outside type of thing. So look, I have peace in my heart, although the outside circumstances baloney, complete wreck. See, you live out of the place, you have peace ruling in your heart when your heart is fully given to the Prince of Peace. My question is why we don't experience peace, does that mean we are keeping something away from him or something else is distracting? Is your heart distracted by the circumstance so it's not being able to be given to the Prince of Peace? Does that make sense? Guys, this is like everything. I mean, if you align your heart with his heart, guess what? Like living out of that place of intimacy, living out of that position, you're going to rule in this life with him. You're going to reign with him. You will be kings and priests unto him when your heart is aligned with him, when your heart is fully given to him. See, guard your heart, for out of it the issues of life flow from, right? So guess what? His life will flow through me when my heart is given to him. Because we're meant to live like Jesus. It says, behold, the old has passed, and behold, all things are new. He gave you a new heart. That's a new heart. To live out of a new heart. It says, he will take the hearts of stone and give them hearts of flesh. Why? Because a stone, you can't mold a stone. It crumbles. Try to mold a stone, it crumbles. That's why oftentimes if our hearts are hard and something needs to mold it, guess what? It breaks it. It doesn't mold it. But if it's a heart of flesh, guess what? It's like with something, oh, this is not right. Let me change it so it becomes right. It transforms into what it needs to be rather than be broken in a million pieces. Matthew 15, 1 through 16. I'm going to quickly summarize this. The disciples come and they start eating. And the Pharisees are like, yo, your disciples, Jesus, they didn't clean their hands. I mean, I work at a daycare, so like, man, if kids go to a bathroom and I see them not clean their hands, I'm like, you go back in there. Clean your hands. Don't be touching people with that. Right? The disciples start eating without washing their hands. And the Pharisees are like, well, how come your disciples don't wash their hands? What's going on? Like, the Pharisees become so focused on, like, they don't wash their hands. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus starts rebuking them. He starts rebuking them. He's like, you hold to the traditions of men. You say this and this. And you make excuses with the law. You do these things. And it says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out that defiles him. Man, this is what religious people do. This is what we as Pharisees can do. Sometimes we're pretty pharisaical. I don't know. Let's make a word like that. Pharisaical. You know why? Because we're so focused on people doing the wrong things outside and we don't want to look at their heart. We're so focused on like, man, they're doing, this is the thing. We focus on external actions and we ignore the heart of the action. Like, if you ever talk to someone or if you're trying to minister to someone and they share a struggle with you, just know, like, there's symptoms and then there's a root. There's symptoms of a sickness and then there's the root of the sickness, the cause of the sickness. And that's the same thing. And sometimes we're like, man, I know what this guy's doing in his life. He's all out there partying, drinking. And we ignore the heart. Maybe he's struggling in his heart. Maybe he's trying to fill a void in his heart. Maybe there's something that needs to be fixed in his heart. And when it's fixed in his heart, his external is fixed. See, we can do behavioral, whatever you want to do, behavioral therapy all day. I'm like, ni dieta, don't do this, don't smoke, don't drink, don't do this and this and this. And guess what? With discipline, you could probably do it. With discipline, you're like, man, I'm a holy person. I don't do anything wrong. Shame on you. And yet our heart is in the wrong place. This is what the Pharisees did everything right. And they're like, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, God, right? And it says, Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can have everything right on the outside, but guess what? If your heart is not right before him, he sees that. Because if your heart's fixed, it's just going to flow. Like, you're not going to have to discipline yourself super hard. Like, oh, I have to do right. I really don't. I'm going to really try not to look at porn. I'm going to really try not to get mad at this person. Because when your heart is given to him, that love naturally flows. Does that make sense, guys? Is this kind of heavy? I know this is kind of heavy. And hopefully it provokes you a little bit. Because God is so after your heart. And it hurts, I think it hurts his heart when we ignore it. When we give our hearts to other things. I think it hurts his heart. Why? Because he paid a price for your heart. With his blood. He was bleeding for you. God cares about our heart so much. The things that come out of our mouth defiles the heart. If I talk to you, I mean, I get the thing, but like if you talk to someone long enough, like I get people like say, you know, they talk the talk but don't walk the walk. If I talk long enough to you, I will know what's in your heart. Easy. Easy. When a person's bitter, I can tell so easy. They start talking, yeah, it's poison. When there's unforgiveness, like, man, like you can tell what's in the heart out of how a person speaks. Guess what? If they have a love for Jesus, that is seen too. Like it comes out of their mouth. That's easy to see. So whatever you speak, what do you primarily speak of? What is the focus of your speech? That's in your heart. Constantly talking about money, guess what? I guess that's on your heart, man. Constantly talking about cars, guess what? I guess that's in your heart, dude. Like, what is the primary thing you talk about? If you have, like, cuss words, and I know we have some really good people here that don't cuss at all, never say a bad word. But if you cuss or like you're hating on people or gossiping, that doesn't show what other people have, it shows what you have. If you're constantly critiquing people, a critical heart is so dangerous, man. A critical heart is so dangerous. It usually shows, can I be honest? It usually shows that you're insecure about something if you're really critical of others all the time. Like, this person does this wrong, this person does this wrong. It's probably because you have something wrong with you. So out of the mouth, what comes out of your mouth defiles the heart. Luke 6:45. The good person out of good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Makes sense, I think, right? The abundance. What is the abundance? What is primarily stored in your heart? That's what your mouth will speak. What is stored up in your heart? What do you store in your heart? You know how they gather grain, right? And they put it in storehouses? We do the same thing in our lives. We just gather different kinds of grain. Sometimes we gather nice grain, and sometimes we gather cactuses and weeds. That hurts, man. And guess what? When you give it to others, that hurts them too. So what are you gathering in your life? What do you got? Are you, for real, like, because we're going and we're grabbing, 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 rejecting. What are you grabbing, 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 rejecting? Like, are you a farmer? Or are you just like some hooligan? I don't know. Good farmers gather good crops. Bad farmers are careless what they gather. They're careless. That's not being diligent. Good farmers keep their harvest with all diligence. Bad farmers do not have diligence. They're like, whatever comes. I'll have it all. Then you have bad kartoshka. Man, nobody wants that. Nobody wants your rotten potatoes. I really don't. Man, should I say this? Okay. When you speak bitterness out of bitterness or unforgiveness, you're providing food for demons. Just remember that next time. When you speak bitterness or you speak lies or you speak whatever, you actually give food for demons. You give a place for the devil. Because you show what's in your heart. And guess what? The devil can't live in God's presence. Like, he can. He can't live in the goodness of the heart. He can't live in purity. He can't. So if there's like a storehouse full of goodies that he sees as goodies, guess what? He's gonna be like, yo, I'm good for the winter. Let's go. What you dwell on grows in your heart. It is so important to renew your mind and dwell on the word. What is lovely, what is pure. It's so important to dwell on Jesus, to store up Jesus in your heart. This little heart of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine. It's light, never mind.
Yeah.
It's okay. Either way, let your heart shine too. Have his light in you. Oh, another bar right there. That is why we must meditate on the word. Because that's how we store things in our heart, is we meditate, is that we dwell on things. Really practical, right? What are you thinking about all the time? That's what's growing in your heart. That's why renewal of the mind. See, the mind gives act, like it's what pours into the heart. Because look, how does your mind process things? What does your mind process? Your senses. It processes your senses. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch. I don't know if you're just crying or if that's the Holy Spirit. But maybe. We'll see. So our senses is what comes, like what we hear. That's the biggest one, I think, what we hear and see. Because that, like, if you don't have a renewed mind, you're just going to accept it in your mind, and then it'll go in your heart when you dwell on it, when you meditate. Like, discouragement is meditating on the wrong things. Fear is meditating on the wrong things. Love, joy, and peace is meditating on God and Jesus and his word. That's what, like, meditation leads to production in your heart. Store in your heart. That's like the big machine in your brain. It's like, I want it all. The mind dwelling on things can either clean and protect your heart, or it can infect your heart. The things you dwell on, the things you think about mostly, the things you meditate on, right? Because honestly, guys, we all get like really bad thoughts sometimes. I'm like, man, I'm guilty. Like, not guilty. Not guilty. We all get bad thoughts. That doesn't mean they're from you. It says the devil is there with his little dart gun, and he's like, pew, pew, pew. Sending like bad thoughts to your mind. Not every thought that comes from to your mind is from you. I used to struggle with that so bad. I thought, man, I'm thinking about this. Man, am I such a bad person? What am I? And I would be shameful and guilty of it. Until I learned, actually, no, it's the devil trying to attack me in my mind. Trying to send me thoughts, because you know what he wants? He wants those darts to stick. He wants those darts to stick to your mind. So it becomes a part of you. He wants to put something on you so it becomes a part of you. And he'll try to put things on you that have nothing to do with you. So discern your thoughts. If it's a bad thought, guess what? Wear the helmet of salvation. No, I am a new creation. I am born again. I'm a new creation. This thought does not belong to me. Reject it. Let it fall to the ground. Let it die. Fear is you believing a lie as truth. That's what fear is. And the enemy wants to send darts. The devil's just like, I'm going to send this one. Wow, this one's way out there. Let's see if he believes that one. That's what he does. And for so many years, I struggled with that, because I would be in my shame. I would be in my guilt. Man, like, dude, I'm such a bad person. Like, why am I getting these thoughts? Until the Lord's like, no, like, do you realize what I did for you? I washed your mind with my blood. I gave you a new heart. I made you a new creation. These thoughts, they're not your thoughts. You're in a battle. You don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against powers, against all this demonic stuff. There's a battle. See, and if we don't guard our hearts with diligence, we allow those things to live inside of us. We allow those things to have a place inside of us. But we need to be like warriors, man. Like, we need to be like warriors that are like, are you joking me, devil? And like, block him with the shield. Your shield is faith. Your shield is in the word of God. It says you are a child of God. No longer are you in bondage. No longer are you in slavery. But now you are a son. Now you are a daughter. So use that shield, man. Use that sword. Your sword is able to slice every word that the devil sends to you. Every lie, everything that is not of him, it's able to slice because it is the word of God. And the word of God is able to pierce. It's able to chop. It's a double-edged sword. There's nothing sharper than the word of God. Use your sword. We all get equipped with a sword and a shield and a helmet. We all get equipped with the armor. The thing is, we need to train with it. In Psalms 144, he says, you train my fingers for battle. Like, it's a training. Is it hard sometimes? Yeah, it's hard sometimes. But once you keep on training, guess what? It becomes so easy. Easy in the way I mean that it, you know what to do. It's a battle. It takes work. It takes effort. To use your sword, you know what to use your sword is? Is to know the word and proclaim it. That's what to use your sword is. To meditate, know the word, and proclaim it. Your shield of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is what you believe in. Faith is what you stand in. Faith is the thing, the truth. The belt, I mean, it all correlates with one another, the belt of truth. So your pants don't fall down and you're not shameful. It holds everything together. Man, wear that belt. I don't want anyone sagging anymore. Oh man, is this, you guys like this? Do you guys like this? Can I keep going? Or you guys want me to be done? I'm like, this fires me up. Matthew 5:8. Guys, this is going to be so freeing for you right now. Matthew 5:8. That's 5:6. Well, I like that too. Blessed, okay. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will what? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall. What will they do? What kind of heart? Pure. Pure hearts. A pure heart will see God. Did you know that's such a big promise? Blessed are the pure in heart. That's such a big blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, when we hear the word purity, we think of like, oh, that means not lusting. That means not no sexual immorality. That's what we think of when we think of purity. Purity is so much more than just that. See, a pure heart correlates to the perception of God. I want you guys to catch this so bad. A pure heart correlates with the perception of God. What does this mean? This means, could it be that we are not perceiving God because something is hindering it? Our perception? Could it be we're not perceiving God because something in our heart is hindering from perceiving God? That doesn't mean God's not there. That doesn't mean God's not speaking. That doesn't mean God's not moving. But is there something in our heart that mirrors, that just, not mirrors, just destroys our perception, just hinders our perception, just makes it muddy to see God? Like, God's there. But do we see him rightly? That's my question. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not just a part of it, like they'll see God, how he is rightly. The pure in heart. That's when it's so important to keep your heart pure, because, you know, this is going to be, if you're having a hard time perceiving God, if you're having a hard time seeing God in your life, if you're having a hard time experiencing God, there might be something in your heart that's hindering from it. I'm not saying he wants to hide himself from you or anything. He's there. Like, he wants your eyes to be open. But it's like one of those, you know, like logs in your eye that you have to remove in order to see him. Like, he's not preventing you from seeing him. He wants you to see him. But if there's something in your heart that carries, like, that's made your lens muddy, the eyes of your heart, like, muddy, like, you're not going to see God rightly. You're going to see a little, oh, wow, I saw him a little bit, but I didn't see him fall. Like, I didn't experience him that much. Like, I didn't, man. You know what I mean? It's not like, because some people are like, man, I'm not sensing God because, like, he doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. No, like, he wants you to see him more than you want to see him. Do you realize that? He wants your he wants you to be in his presence more than you want to be in his presence. I don't think we realize how much God loves us sometimes. Like, he wants you more than you want him. Like, a lot more. It causes us to be numb and not sensitive. An impure heart causes us to be numb and insensitive. Are you numb to his presence? This is not to shame you or to guilt you. I'm just asking a question. Are you numb to his presence? Are you insensitive to his presence? Is there something that in your heart is like making you not see God rightly? See things like, I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to hit this so hard. See these, like, things like bitterness prevent you from seeing God. Unforgiveness prevents you from seeing God. Discouragement prevents you from seeing God. I'm not saying whenever you get discouragement, that means like something's super wrong with you. I mean, deal with that discouragement rightly, though. Because a man who's always walking in discouragement, guess what? He walks in unbelief. Unbelief. Discouragement leads to unbelief. So when something bad happens, when someone doesn't get healed, when something happens, go deal with it with the Lord so he can encourage you and so you can keep your faith. See, discouragement should always invite us to, like, man, God, I need more of you. That's what it should invite us to. Like, I heard this sermon by Bill Johnson. It was so, so freeing. It's like discouragement is meant to be dealt with God. So it actually is an invitation for you to be more hungry for God. Like, man, why? We ask so many questions like, God, why did this happen? God, why did this person not get healed? God, why did this person happen like this? And we ask all these questions, and maybe we shouldn't be asking why, but maybe we should be like, God, I just need more of you then. Because God's never the problem. I'll tell you that. God's never the problem. We cannot blame God for anything. That's a dangerous road, man. Say, God, you did this. Like, oh, no. Like, hope you stay alive, buddy. No, but for real. Like, we don't have the place to blame God. That place, like, man, someone doesn't get healed. Like, God, that means I just need more of you. There's something I need more of you. It's always an invitation into his presence to go deeper in relationship with him. Amen? Amen. Good news, his blood cleanses us. That's good news. Like, you can't take your little magic eraser and scrub your own heart and be like, I'm going to make it new. His blood is the only thing that can make it new. Is the only thing. Like, there's a stain on your heart. Guess what? No Stanley steamer, no nothing is going to help that. Nothing is going to help you except his blood. That's why people, when they try to be so good, they can't be good. Like, they'll fail always. Why? Because his blood is the only way. Jesus is the only way. To be righteous, it's his righteousness. Not even your righteousness. Your righteousness is dirty rags to God. Because we're like, oh man, I'm so good. And then, you know, someone cuts you off and you become a murderer. <That's>, I know, right? Like, we accept, that's so much work for you to be righteous. You can't work to be, man, like, you try to be righteous, like, you're going to fail within one day, if not 1 hour. Oh, it's so funny sometimes. Like, accept his righteousness and live from that place. Live from that identity. The old has passed. That means your self-righteousness has passed too, buddy. Like, for real. Live from his righteousness. Cool. So today we're going to invite his blood to cleanse our hearts from bitterness, from unforgiveness, and from discouragement. Because, man, like, I think discouragement, I mean, bitterness is a thing you deal with. You know, if you have bitterness in your heart, I don't even, like, it's not hard to find. You're like, I say a person's name, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's bitterness, dude. That's unforgiveness. If hate arises, if, you know, that's just bitterness, man. That's unforgiveness. I'm not going to call it anything else. I'm not going to say, oh, you have a right to be offended. Maybe you do, but guess what? You're not allowed to be offended. You gave up your rights. When you said, Jesus, you're Lord, Jesus is like, okay, let's go. Let us work out your salvation. Let us sanctify the hell out of you. Literally. Oh my goodness, he said. Yeah, it's literally sanctifying the hell out of you. Oh man. Who shall ascend the mountain? Do you guys know that Psalms? Psalms 24, I believe. Who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You want to ascend the mountain of the Lord? Like, he wants you to ascend it. He wants you to be on the mountain like Moses was on that mountain. He wants to clean you so you're able to experience his glory. Like, unclean things, dirt cannot be in his glory. It can't. You know why we get to experience his glory? Because Jesus cleansed us with his blood. That's why we get to experience God. That's why we get to have a relationship with us. We get to have a relationship with him. Amen? I'll try to finish up, man. I made my notes shorter because I'm like, I don't want to go that long. I made my notes shorter. But I guess this is something we have to hear. Because I'm saying if the heart of our youth is healthy, guess what? We're going to see God. Because it says a pure heart will see God. I want our youth to walk in such holiness and purity before the Lord that nothing else takes our heart. That nothing else hinders us from walking closer to God. That's my desire for our youth. Even in the beginning, when we started this ministry, when we started youth ministry, like that verse came up, who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? He who has clean hands and pure heart. He is looking for a generation who has clean hands and a pure heart, who is called to holiness and lives out in that holiness. That's a call for every single one of you. Can I have keys? Or actually, we can turn that thing on. I want everybody kind of together. Oh man, Lord, we need you so much. We can lower it a little bit. Just a little bit. Just have it quietly, softly in the back. Okay, see this. And I love this quote. My friend Daniel gave it to me. He said this and it really touched my heart. The degree you allow Christ to reign in your heart will be the degree you rule with him in this life. I'm going to say that again. To the degree you allow Christ to rule your heart will be to the degree you rule with him in this life. Like, man, I want to be a ruler. I want to see stuff happen. I want to take down strongholds, cast out demons, heal people. You do. I do too. But he wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. So my question is today, and I really, guys, really, like, let's try to pay attention to this. Is he the king of your heart? That's my question. Or is this, there's a little mutiny in your heart? Is there a little rebellious, you know, part of your heart? Is your heart fully dedicated to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? G-
Jesus loves you. He wants you. He wants your heart, your whole heart. Who else can defend our hearts but him? Who else can we trust with our hearts? Who else? Who else? Can we skip one back? Just skip it back. Guys, you know that you're not supposed to protect yourself? Do you know that? You're not supposed to protect yourself. Like, he's your protector now. You don't have to justify yourself before men because he's justified you. Like, he's your protector. You try to protect your heart, guess what? Like, you're not that good of a protector. Okay. So let's close our eyes right now. What is stealing your affection, your attention of your heart? It could be many things. It could be good things. It could be bad things. It could be pride, fear, lust, self-pity, hate, depression. What is stealing the affections and attention of your heart? See, Jesus is inviting us to surrender our hearts to him, our affections, everything that is in your heart, so he can care for it and he can bind it up. It says, he came, the Lord has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. Your heart's broken, and he wants to bind it up. He wants the full attention, the full adoration, the full affection. Because if your eyes are on him, you don't get distracted. You live from that place of peace, from joy, from total bliss. Bliss. So right now, even, if I say bitterness and you ask, Holy Spirit, do I have bitterness in my heart towards a person? Deal with it. Let the Lord deal with that. Say, God, I do have bitterness, and I need you to uproot it. I need you to get rid of it. I need you to kill it. Yeah, so right now, let's just pray that. Lord, right now, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would uproot bitterness right now in Jesus' name. May it have no place in our hearts right now. No bitterness in Jesus' name. Repeat this after me. I renounce bitterness. I renounce any bitterness I have towards anybody. You are not welcome in my life. I uproot it in Jesus' name. Just allow the Holy Spirit. Like, now that it's uprooted, allow him to fill that place right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I welcome you into that place. Maybe there's still a little hurt. Just welcome into that place so he can heal that part. Okay, next one we're going to do is unforgiveness. So I'm going to say, let's just pray. Lord, open up any unforgiveness in our hearts right now towards anybody, whether it be our close family members, whether it be strangers, whether it be someone who hurt us, whether it be friends who betrayed us, backstabbed us. If there's any unforgiveness, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal it into the hearts right now. Now let's just repeat after me. I renounce unforgiveness. Lord, I forgive this person. I release this person into your free will. I hold nothing against them any longer. I And if you're right now fighting, like, oh, I don't know if I hold something against them, just say, I take it by faith. I forgive them, Lord. Help me to forgive them. I hold nothing against them, and just proclaim that in faith. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come into those places of hurt, into those places of that place of hurt, that place of betrayal, God. Uproot it right now and heal it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did you know Jesus felt everything you have felt? He's felt betrayal. He's felt depression. He's felt these things, you know. He took them on the cross. Guess what? He took all of it. He paid a price so you do not have to live this way. So you can live in freedom. Last one, guys. Who feels like his peace just coming? I feel his peace coming. Yeah, Jesus gets you, you know? He gets you. You know how when you talk to a person, he's like, you talk to a person and you're like, man, he just doesn't get my heart. He doesn't understand me. Like, I've had that so many times. Guess what? Jesus completely understands you. Completely. So just, he understands what you're going through. He understands the pain. He understands everything. So right now we're just going to deal with discouragement. And discouragement, guys, comes from a lot of things. Discouragement is just like disappointment. Discouragement comes when you were praying for something and maybe you didn't get it and you got discouraged and you're like, man, I'm never going to pray for that again. Discouragement comes from these places. And right now, I don't want us to ask the whys. I just want us to ask, what does your word say and who are you, God, to deal with that discouragement? So we can live out of a place of faith, not out of a place of failure. Amen. So Lord, right now we just pray that, Lord, you would show us the places we're discouraged, maybe depressed, maybe disappointed. Highlight that, Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, Lord, show us who you are in the midst of that discouragement and what your word says in the midst of that disappointment. In Jesus' name. Then just repeat after me. Lord, I no longer allow discouragement to rule my life. I open and invite you to rule my life and your word to rule my life. And I believe in all my heart, if you mean this, like he comes and does it, like, you can't deal with this yourself, guys. You can't do this yourself. You have to have Jesus with this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is he your treasure? Because if he is your only treasure, it is worth it. He's the only treasure that is worth it. His presence, which is him. His presence is him. Do you know that? When we talk about God's presence, we don't talk about some mist or something. Right? When I'm like, I want your presence. Like, Matthias, come to the presence. Come with your presence, Matthias. I'm not just talking about the idea of Matthias. I'm not talking about the concept of Matthias. I'm not talking about the name of Matthias necessarily. I'm talking about Matthias literally coming. And that's when we ask God, like, come with your presence. We're asking God to literally come as he is. Not the idea of him, not the concept of him, not the theology of him. We're asking himself to come. When you invite him into your room, just know that he's there. Like, literally, he's there. It's not something, this is really supernatural, man. That's really spiritual. Like, he's there. Did you know the spiritual is much more real than the natural? Much more real. So where is your treasure? It says, there your heart will be also.
When it is surrendered to him, it overflows with him. That's what I love. When your heart is given to him, it overflows with him. When your heart is given to his love, his love overflows in your heart. And guess what? You start to sprinkle it on other people. Love, 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 love. That's how it works, guys. It's surrenderance. The Christian life is about surrenderance. It's not about you saying a prayer and being like, I'm here now. No, it's about continual surrenderance to his presence, to his hand, to his word, to who he is. Continual surrenderance. And when you start feeling like you're straying off the path, you're like, guess what? We have a gift. It's called repentance. Repenting is turning from this and turning to God. It's turning my heart from this sin or this distraction and aligning it and putting my affection on him once again. That's repentance. And that's a gift, guys. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot repent. Did you know that? So when you already feel like, I can guarantee you, Holy Spirit speaks to you when you're starting to get off the path. It's like, man, you kind of hated on this person. Man, you kind of said something bad. Man, you kind of gossiped. Man, you kind of looked at that in that way. He tells you, I'm telling you, it's not hard to hear God. People say, it's so hard. No, he speaks to you every day. Are you paying attention to it? That's my question. I'm almost done, I promise. People want to go to the bathroom really bad. You want your heart to be full of peace, joy, and pleasure in his presence is where it needs to be then. Let's rise to our feet. He wants to show you his heart and reveal it so it can become your heart and so you can reveal it. I'm going to repeat that one time. He wants to show you his heart and reveal it to you so his heart becomes your heart and that you can reveal it to others. So today I'm inviting you. He's inviting you to give up your heart, to surrender, to make him king of your heart, to heal your heart. Jesus is knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? He wants to dine in your heart with you. He wants communion with you. This is, when I talked about being one with him, it's talking about like being one in heart, one in desire, one in thought, oneness with him. He died so we could be whole. Freedom is today. Like those who struggle with their heart, guys, like, there's freedom. I'm telling you, you don't have to struggle any longer. You don't have to do that. Just give it to him. Give it to him. Like, have this day be like, God, I'm actually going to give you my whole heart. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to hold anything back. Can we dim the lights? I don't want to hold anything back. We can turn up the track a little bit. So right now, this is what we're going to do. And I don't want this to be like a bandwagon, okay? I don't want this to be a bandwagon. I want like legit people who wants to be serious with the Lord, saying, God, like, I'm going to try to give you all my heart. Like, I give you, and I don't want anything else to hold my heart. I legit don't want anything else to hold my heart but you. And even if right now you feel like, man, this is holding my heart, like, as a step of faith, even like, say, God, I'm going to make a step of faith. I'm going to make a physical act of obedience to declare a spiritual reality. Does that make sense? Physical obedience declares spiritual reality. So let's close our eyes right now. I really feel like Holy Spirit wants to touch us. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. Jesus, we invite you in this place. We worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Birth hunger, God. Birth a desperation to give your whole heart, that we may give our whole heart, God. Birth a desperation to give our whole hearts to you. And if that's you, like, this is just between you and the Lord, I just want you to make your way here. Don't hesitate. Just come to him. Don't just
stand there. If you want that desire, if that's your desire, just come here. Just let your body go. Saying, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you those parts of my heart. I give you my whole heart. I don't want to be a half-hearted Christian. I want to be a sold-out, wholehearted Christian.